Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW. We really appreciate you listening to Cross Currents, and we'd really appreciate your support during our almost fall membership drive. Please click the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Hayward.
Richmond.
San Pablo.
Yeah, San Pablo.
I live in Novato.
Coming up, we'll hear about a family fighting for their little girl's right to take a rescue drug at school to stop her seizures. The hitch? It's made from cannabis.
Are you going to let a sick child take her medication so that she can go to school? Or are you going to just keep people at home?
Then we head to a dispensary to talk about CBD, a popular new health product derived from cannabis. It's found its way onto store shelves across the country.
It's basically the new superfood. I find it starting to see these pop up in local health food stores or online or in pet stores. And these products have not actually been tested.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is coming up. A growing number of parents whose kids suffer from seizures have discovered that medical cannabis can reduce their frequency and intensity. And over the past few years, 7 states have passed laws giving kids access to that marijuana medicine while they're at school. California is not quite there. Last year, KALW education reporter Lee Romney met a Santa Rosa family whose little girl relies on cannabis oil to stop seizures. They pushed for a new state law that would allow her to go to public kindergarten this fall. But as Lee explains, things haven't turned out the way the family anticipated.
Ram, Sam, Sam, Ram, Sam, Sam.
This is a private Santa Rosa preschool. And when I met Brooke Adams last fall, the 4-year-old with strawberry blonde pigtails was in her 2nd year here.
So get your binoculars.
She got to socialize with other kids. And in between circle time and snack time, there was speech therapy.
What color is that? What color?
Red.
Good job.
It's a red yo-yo.
Okay.
Brooke was diagnosed with Dravet syndrome when she was 3 months old. Like a lot of kids with this rare type of childhood epilepsy, she didn't respond to a long list of heavy-duty pharmaceutical drugs. Here's Brooke's mom, Jana Adams.
She would have hour-long seizures every time we'd have to call 911 to have her ambulanced to the ER to load her up with all kinds of drugs. And her longest one was 3 hours.
Until Jana and her husband discovered medical cannabis. They use one tincture a few times a day to prevent seizures. That one's mostly CBD, a cannabinoid in the marijuana plant that doesn't make you high. Another, rubbed on our gums, stops the seizures once they start. That rescue medication, made from the psychoactive cannabinoid THC, works in about 3 minutes, Jana says.
Yeah, it's been life-changing.
Except when it came to preschool. The local public school district told Jana both federal and state laws ban cannabis on school grounds. Violating that federal law could put school districts at risk of losing federal funds. End of story, right? Well, no, because a different federal law guarantees students with special needs the right to a free and appropriate public education.
Yellow ball.
So the district paid for Brooke to go to this private preschool and for a one-on-one nurse who was always at Brooke's side with those little vials of THC oil, her rescue medication. But Jana wanted her daughter in public school for kindergarten.
I mean, that's why we're pushing to get to Sacramento and get something passed before the fall, because I don't know where her placement will be in the fall if she can't go to public school.
That was Jana last fall, talking about her hopes for a new California law. I go back in August to check up on Brooke and her mom, Jana.
God, a lot has happened and not happened.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We knew we'd be here. We hoped we didn't, but...
You thought you might, huh?
Yeah.
So what has changed? Laws in 7 other states now allow kids to take their cannabis meds at school. And California's trying something similar with JoJo's Act. JoJo Jimenez lives in San Bruno, and the 19-year-old suffers from a different debilitating form of childhood epilepsy. His state senator, Jerry Hill, learned about him last year and how to get the regular cannabis tinctures that keep the teenager's seizures in check.
He would have to be removed from school in a wheelchair and by law taken 1,000 feet away from the school where the drug could be administered, and then his mother would have to wheel him back to school. It didn't seem right.
So Hill authored a bill that would permit California school districts, but not require them, to let parents or legal guardians administer cannabis meds inside school to kids who have a doctor's recommendation. The bill is now on the governor's desk, but Jenna Adams says for her daughter, there's a hitch. When Brooke needs her THC oil as a rescue medicine, she needs it immediately. Jenna couldn't possibly get there fast enough.
I mean, I don't know when I'm going to have to dose her. That's the whole issue. You know, that bill doesn't help at all, really.
Boy.
There's a boy.
That's a problem everywhere. Parents can't always be on campus when kids need these meds. Illinois had to add a last-minute amendment that also allows a designated caregiver to dispense cannabis at school. New Jersey did something similar, and early this summer, Colorado tacked Quinton's amendment onto its law. That allows school personnel to dispense the cannabis meds or designate someone who can, like a contracted nurse.
Brooke needs that. But Senator Hill doesn't think that'll fly in California now. Marijuana is still against federal law, and school administrators lobbied against his bill out of concern that they'd lose federal funds.
You know, when you look at a prioritization, this would be, I would think, low on the totem pole there.
The administration hasn't gone after any school in the country for allowing kids to take cannabis meds. Still, there's a fear that California might just make a tempting case for the Trump administration.
But I do think that no one can really anticipate the inconsistencies of Washington today, and California seems to be singled out as much as possible in Washington for some type of retribution or sanctions.
Just like the other states, Senator Hill says, California needs a starting point.
And that's what I think SB 1127 does. It gives students with severe medical disabilities a chance to attend school and allow them to be an active part of their peer community.
If the governor signs the bill, Hill says he thinks it'll be at least a year before the state would okay an amendment to help kids like Brooke, whose symptoms are unpredictable and who may need medicine administered immediately. So for now, to avoid having Brooke homeschooled, Jenna Adams and her husband decided to go to court, a special ed hearing held before a state administrative law judge, to let him decide.
Are you going to let a sick child take her medication so that she can go to school, or are you going to just keep people at home?
These hearings are usually private, but Brooke's family petitioned to open theirs to the public in hopes of helping other families. Brooke's mom also stirred up a lot of media interest.
Well, California mom Jana Adams wrote to us about her own daughter, Brooke, who also...
That's Megyn Kelly, host of a daytime talk show on NBC, which had already covered the Illinois case that led to legislation there. Brooke's story aired on the show a day before her hearing in July.
The law says you can't have it in public schools.
Brooke's preschool teacher testified about all the progress she's made interacting with other kids. And one of her doctors, who heads UCSF's Pediatric Epilepsy Center, submitted a declaration on her behalf. As for school district officials, they say they're caught between two federal laws. Rincon Valley Union Assistant Superintendent Kathy Meyer says they want guidance and some cover.
As a district, we just want a level of protection. Whether it's a judge directing us to do something, then we feel like, okay, if the judge tells us we can have a student on campus with their medical marijuana, we feel like, okay, we can do it.
She worked with Senator Hill's office on JoJo's Act and backs it as a good start, even though it doesn't quite go far enough to help Brooke.
Do you like grapes? Yes, I
do.
Back at home, the little girl spends her last days before kindergarten pulling book after book out of a bin in the living room so she and her mom can read together. That's right, kindergarten. Earlier this summer, the judge issued a temporary order that let Brooke start public school last month with her cannabis oil and a new nurse. The judge expects to issue his final ruling by the end of this month. It would apply to Brooke alone. If he rules against her, Jana says,
I'm just going to have to keep fighting.
because it's not fair. We pay taxes. We pay for bonds, all the different things that any, you know, person would that wants their kids to go to school. And for her not to be able to go to school and enjoy the things that we're paying for through our tax money, I mean, something needs to change.
The governor has until the end of this month to sign or veto JoJo's Act. If he signs it, Jana says, it still won't help her daughter. But Jana could start pushing for an amendment that would allow Brooke's one-on-one nurse to dispense that rescue medication at school.
Oh, is she sleepy? There's the girl.
For Cross Currents, I'm Lee Romney in Santa Rosa.
There's a girl. She's sleeping.
Lee is KALW's education reporter. You can reach her at education@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Have you heard about the popular new cannabis health product called CBD? It's THC's non-psychoactive cousin, and it gained fame earlier this year after being used to successfully treat children with intractable epilepsy. Since then, it's been claimed to alleviate a whole host of conditions, from anxiety to inflammation, pain, and even acne. If and when the 2018 Farm Bill passes, this cannabis-derived molecule could soon be legal in all 50 states. But questions remain about its safety and efficacy. KALW's Nicholas Harder reports.
This is sound from the 420 Festival on Hippie Hill in San Francisco, one of the largest celebrations of cannabis in the world. I was there interviewing glassy-eyed stoners about the new pot law, and I had just finished an interview with someone smoking a joint about a foot long, when across the hill I spotted two gentlemen holding placards and wearing polo shirts and slacks. They looked significantly more chipper and talkative than the dazed smokers sprawled out around them. Intrigued, I walked over and struck up a conversation with the same question I'd been asking everyone that day. Do you consider yourself a stoner? They were the only ones who answered no. Okay, what about a pothead?
Nope.
Chiefer?
Nope.
Toker?
Nope.
Green Goblin?
Nope.
Marijuanabe?
Nope.
Weed Ninja?
Nope.
Never tried.
Nope.
Grambo?
None of those.
Have you ever smoked weed?
Nope.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Neither have I.
Nope.
These two men, Bob Williams and John Lambeth, had never smoked cannabis in their lives. They weren't at the 420 Festival to get stoned. They were there to spread the word about the medical benefits of CBD.
That's cool. You guys are like ambassadors for
health.
Yeah.
It's a health
for
yeah.
health.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
absolutely.
Is a recreational festival day, but I think it's good to have the reminder that these things are happening.
Yeah. It's more than just recreation.
CBD, or cannabidiol, is a molecule that occurs naturally in the cannabis plant, like THC. I'd actually tried CBD for the first time shortly before meeting Bob and John. After I had my wisdom teeth removed, I took edible CBD oil instead of the opioids the doctor gave me. And it worked great. I felt relaxed, I didn't have any pain, and most importantly, I was clear-headed. Because unlike THC, which is the main psychoactive molecule in cannabis, CBD doesn't get you high. In fact, CBD counteracts the psychoactive effects of THC.
So if you're using it for recreational use, it's not going to work because it's more for your health purposes.
Bob and John had their own personal stories of discovering CBD. They both involved long-term chronic pain that wasn't being effectively managed with traditional medicine. They also told me some pretty incredible stories about other people whose lives had been literally saved after taking this medicine.
She was sent home by the doctors to die. She had
breast cancer, stage four,
and it had ulcerated. So it was oozing and just a mess. And it took one day, and the opening had sealed itself. One day.
Wow.
The stories they told me were amazing, almost unbelievable. And even though it comes from cannabis, they said CBD is legal in all 50 states. How is that possible? And does it really work? It was easy to believe CBD could treat inflammation and pain, but could it really send cancer into remission? I decided I needed to do some fact-checking. All right, so for starters, it's true that CBD has arguably been legal at a federal level for the last 4 years. That's because the 2014 Farm Bill legalized the cultivation of industrial hemp for research purposes. Industrial hemp is defined by the government as any variety of the cannabis plant with less than 0.3% THC. Hemp can be used to make rope, cloth, paper, and health products such as hemp oil and CBD oil. Retailers selling hemp products have been allowed to do so these last 4 years because in the eyes of Congress, it counts as market research. Once the 2018 Farm Bill passes, with support from Mitch McConnell and fellow Republicans, industrial hemp and its byproducts, including CBD, will be fully and unequivocally legalized for commercial use.
Around $600 million in hemp products are sold each year here in the U.S., but due to current laws, much of this hemp has to be imported. That cuts out our American farmers. It's time for that to change.
The market for CBD nearly doubled from 2015 to 2016, and it's expected to keep doubling until it passes $1 billion by 2021. Big companies do not want to miss out on what's quickly becoming the next big health fad. You can already find CBD products in over 100 7-Elevens nationwide, and there's plans to reach thousands more stores by the end of next year.
People with arthritis, MS, and lupus are turning to products like CBD-infused lotion to help manage their pain, while some rub it on their feet for a night out in heels.
It's an exciting moment for cannabis activists. It's a sign that cannabis is going mainstream. But it's also concerning, because unlike with recreational cannabis in the 8 states where it's been legalized, CBD made from industrial hemp has no strict regulations. It doesn't have to be lab tested for pesticides, mold, and other contaminants, and there's no government agency responsible for assuring product quality or label honesty.
Last year, the FDA sent letters to 4 CBD manufacturers alleging some products didn't contain the levels of CBD they claimed to have.
I bounced some of these concerns off of Constance Finley, CEO of Constance Therapeutics in San Francisco's Soma District. She's a pioneer in the medical cannabis industry, and she's been making CBD-rich cannabis extracts since 2009. That's before most people in the industry even knew what CBD was. The value of safety and standardization was apparent when I visited her at her company's lab.
So normally if we have product out and stuff...
Usually we would put on hairnets, gloves, and coats before entering the lab, but today Constance gives us a pass. They'll be sanitizing the whole lab after I leave anyway.
So it's part of our SOPs, they're called, standard operating procedures, of what to do in the lab after people have been in, guaranteeing the cleanliness, etc.
The lab itself reminds me of my old chemistry classroom, with linoleum floors, smooth black counters, and big chrome cupboards. But the toys they have are bigger and far more epic. Right now I'm standing in front of the extraction machine, 3 hollow glass columns taller than I am, attached to a steel box with various tubes. 2 of these glass columns are filled with long, hot pink coils. Josh Taylor, the production manager, explains how it all works.
The heated column turns the ethanol to vapor. That vapor is pulled up through the pink coils by a vacuum, condensing the ethanol vapor back into a liquid, and that's collected at our bottom jug here.
Basically, they're using ethanol to pull the CBD and other active compounds out of the cannabis. Then the extraction machine removes the ethanol, and you're eventually left with a thick, potent oil that is virtually the same every time. This practice of ethanol extraction is ancient, really since humans first distilled alcohol. What the fancy modern machines allow Constance and her team to do is make a standardized product. When you're making medicine for patients, standardization is vital. That's how Constance, who used to be a stockbroker, got into the medical cannabis industry in the first place. She was sick and couldn't find consistent, quality medicine.
My invention was because of my need and my pain. And other people can copy that story, but if you see the process not being as intensely pure as ours, I think that you know that they're in it for money.
In 2013, Constance caused a media stir after her cannabis extracts, in addition to traditional medicines, were used to successfully treat 25 patients with terminal stage 4 cancer, extending their lifetimes well past their doctor's predictions. It's hard to say exactly what role cannabis may have played in reversing their symptoms, but there is a growing body of small studies which show that cannabis does have some tumor-reducing effects. Since those first patients in 2013, Constance's company has helped treat more than 4,000 people with its standardized CBD-rich extracts. Back at the office, I asked Constance if we should be worried about fraud when purchasing a CBD product.
I think so. Those of us who were early proponents of CBD and worked for evidence-based responses to it have kind of been shoved aside from the green rush of people seeing that they could make so much money.
Since 2015, the FDA has cracked down on more than a dozen online CBD retailers for making exaggerated or unproven medical claims. At the same time, a University of Pennsylvania study conducted last year showed that nearly half of CBD products sold online contained less CBD than their labels stated. That means some CBD retailers have made claims like, "This will cure your cancer," while at the same time selling a placebo product.
You encounter those stories in the face of seeing true efficacy of what THC and CBD can do, and you understand that the good science can be buried under the greed.
And there is a lot of good science to prove the efficacy of CBD and THC for medical use. Cannabis's classification as a Schedule I drug has made it difficult to conduct large, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies, which are necessary for cannabis to be accepted by the wider medical community. But the smaller studies are out there, and the anecdotal evidence is overwhelming.
Lots and lots and lots of other doctors insist on saying something that isn't very scientific, which is we don't know, and there's no research done, and I can't recommend. And the last is true. Federally, they can get in big trouble if they recommend cannabis. They can lose their license.
Constance Therapeutics, in partnership with the multi-million-dollar pharmaceutical company Tetra Biopharma, will soon be conducting large-scale, FDA-approved research in Canada, where cannabis was recently legalized. Until that same kind of research can be conducted in the United States, most doctors will be too afraid of legal repercussions to recommend or prescribe CBD, even if they're in a state where cannabis is legal. So if you're curious about CBD, your options are either to look online, or if you're lucky enough to live in a state where cannabis is regulated, you can go to a dispensary.
So I was looking to get a CBD extract.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could help me out with that.
Let's take a look. Sure.
I'm speaking with Alan Clark. He's a bud tender at Berkeley Patients Group. That's the longest-running dispensary in the nation. I'm standing at the edge of a long, L-shaped glass counter filled with a smorgasbord of cannabis products. Behind the counter, a flat-screen TV lists their marijuana strains, while at the register, I thumb through their extensive menu on an iPad. Berkeley Patients Group is similar to Constance's company in that it has a strong focus on the medical benefits of cannabis. So naturally, they carry a variety of CBD products.
You can smoke it in flowers. You can take it as an edible. You can use it as a tincture. You can use it in a vapor pen. You can use it as a topical.
I tell Alan I'm looking to lower my general anxiety levels, and he guides me to the right CBD product for my needs, just like a doctor would.
You go through panic attacks where you need a sense of immediacy, where there's a sense of I really need to get this into my system.
No, it's more like I have some days where I'm feeling particularly stressed out, and for that day.
You want it just something that you can take and just have regularly?
Usually I'll recommend smoking or vaporizing if there's a need for immediacy. Otherwise, I'll recommend the tinctures or the caps, just because, again, you get that longer lasting
time. Yeah. I feel like having it in the cap for me reminds me that it's not for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Understand.
Like if it's in the vaporizer.
I ask Alan how he feels about being put in this doctoral position of prescribing medication, sometimes for quite serious conditions.
I'm not a doctor, and I'll say that outright. I'm not a doctor. I've had a lot of experience with cannabis, but you know, I don't have that physiological education.
Alan is careful with his words. He never claims that CBD or any cannabis product will cure a given condition. It's always, this may help or this could alleviate. Any retailer who does make absolute claims about the medical benefits of CBD should be treated with a healthy dose of skepticism. While the professionals I speak with are excited about the potential benefits of CBD, they all acknowledge there's still a lot of research that needs to be done before we can know anything for sure.
If I can alleviate some of your symptoms, cool. But I'm not going to say, hey, just quit your treatment and start smoking cannabis because that'll cure your cancer. That'd be irresponsible to me and, and not true.
Not surprisingly, unregulated online retailers aren't as motivated to be responsible as those working in government-supervised dispensaries. Just this year, more than 50 people in Utah were hospitalized after taking what they thought was CBD, but what turned out to be a toxic synthetic imitation of CBD. Again, this is possible because there's no federal government agency responsible for testing industrial hemp or its byproducts like CBD. In the back offices, past ceiling-high padlocked metal cupboards they used to use to store their product, I talk with Lauren Watson. She's the communications manager for Berkeley Patients Group. I ask her whether they carry CBD products made from industrial hemp.
We have carried hemp-derived CBD products in the past. Ultimately, we decided we didn't really want to do that anymore. Number one, because the regulations and the laws are a little funky.
Not only are regulations practically non-existent, but CBD extracted from hemp has also been proven to be less medically effective than CBD made from regular cannabis. That's because CBD works best in tandem with a little bit of THC and the other naturally occurring compounds in cannabis known as cannabinoids and terpenes. Lauren calls it the ensemble effect.
So think of like THC as the trumpet. It's great by itself, but if you add in some percussion from CBD and if you add in some strings from CBN and you add some terpene, it's a more complete effect.
In states where it's legal, CBD made from regular cannabis is tested and regulated just like any other cannabis product. So considering that CBD extracted from hemp is less effective and potentially fraudulent, if not toxic, I ask Lauren if she would recommend avoiding online retailers altogether.
That's tough. So it's easy for me to say never buy CBD online if you live in a state where you have access to medical cannabis and you can get access to it. There are people that are incredibly desperate for something to help them treat, you know, their children or their parents or themselves. So for those kinds of people who really are just irking for it, the primary thing is to understand where it's coming from. Do as much research as possible to get it, but ultimately, no, you are taking a risk.
If you do live in a state where cannabis is regulated, like California, then of course it's safer to go to a dispensary to purchase CBD. There you can have access to products which have been vouched for by the dispensary and tested to assure you're actually getting what the label says.
And ask them. Ask where the CBD comes from. Ask if it's hemp-derived. You know, if it's cannabis-derived, you know it's been through a rigorous test. You know that it's safe for consumption.
I don't want to make CBD itself seem dangerous. It's the lack of regulation with CBD made from industrial hemp that's dangerous. Like THC and cannabis as a whole, CBD is not physically addictive and has no serious side effects. As long as you can be assured that your CBD product is free of pesticides, toxins, mold, etc., then there aren't actually any known health risks.
I wish it could be like, yeah, you know, eat more kale. Maybe you should try the CBD stuff and do it from somewhere that's safe.
That's why CBD is becoming such a health fad, because it is so safe, and because it could potentially alleviate a whole host of symptoms.
It's good to be skeptical, but it's also good to know that you can experiment and without fear of doing serious, serious harm to your body.
So we'll give you 4273 for that.
Before I leave Berkeley Patients Group, my CBD capsule's packed in a little brown bag, Alan gives me what I think is good advice for really anyone using any kind of medication. He tells me to keep a notebook so I can track when I take my CBD, how much I take, if it does what I was hoping for, and how it may have fallen short.
You gotta help me help you. I can give you this stuff, but if you don't take it, or if you don't really regard how you take it, and you're just taking it, just popping it in your mouth, or smoking up a joint, and you're really not gonna get any answers until you really apply yourself to understanding what your medicine's doing for you.
If you are someone who's curious about CBD, do your research, remember to keep a notebook, and get it from a dispensary, if you can. Consult a doctor who's cannabis-friendly, and when you start seeing CBD-infused smoothies at your local health food store, go ahead and ask them, is this CBD sourced from industrial hemp or cannabis? The details make a difference. In San Francisco, I'm Nicholas Harder for Cross Currents.
You can hear a longer version of that story online and on our podcast. Find it at kalw.org. That's also where you can find resources about CBDs and cannabis-friendly doctors. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.